Well, Easter, as all of you know, is the most important festival in the Christian calendar, more so because of how it ends rather than how it begins. It celebrates God raising his Son from death to life. And it represents the destruction of the power of sin and death forever. Praise God for that. What a wonderful truth. The beginning of Easter, however, has a very different feeling about it. And as we are at the beginning of Easter, essentially, that's what I want to talk into this morning. Specifically, I want to talk into three words that Jesus uttered while on the cross. You'll know them well. It is finished. Those are the words that Jesus uttered before his final breath while hanging on the cross on what we now call Good Friday. And today being that Friday, the Good Friday that we are celebrating. You know, as a new believer, I took those words, it is finished, at face value. I used to think that Jesus was saying, my life is at an end, I've done all I can, it is finished. And at one level, that is true. But I recall earlier in my Christian journey, after hearing those words a number of times, on one occasion, the Holy Spirit gave me what I've come to understand is a revelation. It was a personal revelation, an understanding for me of what those words really meant. The words, it is finished. It means so much more. It means so much more than my life is about to end. I've done all I can. It is finished. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I hope this comes in a fresh and a new way and is a way of encouraging you in your walk with Jesus. So, have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit giving you a deeper understanding or a whole new perspective on a particular scripture? Like, you read it, and you may have read it a dozen times beforehand, but when you read it this time, it just comes alive. And I know some of you can relate to that. It's happened to me many times over the years, and in fact, I've come to understand it as God speaking by revelation. And it's one way that I've learned over the years that this is how God builds his church. It's not the only way, it's one way he builds his church. He builds it by revelation. There are a couple of other ways that God builds his church, at least as I've been able to figure out. He builds his church generationally. You know, in the NIV at least, you hear that phrase from generation to generation many, many times. And the implication being is, this is how I understand it. From generation to generation, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about his church. So I take that as meaning that the generations are supposed to get stronger, not weaker. The church is supposed to grow and multiply and increase and impact more, not less, from generation to generation. He said, my kingdom will come, my kingdom will stand, my kingdom will grow. So one of the ways that God builds his church is generationally. Another way that he builds his church, as I've come to understand it, is relationally. You see, folks, God puts people with people. He put us together. Now, today's a little bit different, of course, but we are still together via the incredible technology that we have today. We are called together to build his church, to help in the building of his church. You see, the Bible knows nothing of singular, independent, detached Christians adding anything of value to his church. They don't because they can't. God called the body together. We might be different parts of the body, but it's together that we achieve this thing called the kingdom of God, the expansion of the kingdom of God, of the increase of his kingdom. There shall be no end. That happens when we come together to work together. So God will build his church generationally. He will build it relationally. But he also gives us understanding and knowledge revelationally. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks in such a way that you know that wasn't your intellect, you know it wasn't just your understanding, it came as a divine download, a revelation. You know, there's an example, a good example of this in history. In 1517, way back in the day, when Martin Luther read those words, those famous words, "The just shall live by faith," Galatians 3:11. In fact, I think you'll find it in Habakkuk as well. History records that Luther responded when he read those words, "The just shall live by faith." History records that Luther said, "When I discovered that, I was born again of the Holy Ghost, and the doors of paradise swung open, and I walked through." And the point here is that Luther was a monk. He would have read those words many, many times beforehand. Maybe hundreds of times he read those words before. But on that particular day, in that particular moment in time, those words came alive to him. They came as a download, a revelation, and he received them in a new and a fresh way. And we know the result. The Reformation was born. Here's another example from Scripture. In Matthew 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "You're John the Baptist or Elijah, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked what I believe is the most important question in the whole of the New Testament. He said this to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter piped up straight away. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "You didn't get that by reading the law of Moses, Peter. You didn't get that by watching TBN. You got that by revelation from my Father in heaven. And upon the rock of the revelation of who I am Jesus, the Son of God, who you have just testified about. Upon that knowledge, that's the rock upon which I will build my church." Well, for me, I had this kind of aha moment, this revelation about what Jesus was really conveying by the words, "It is finished." And let me share that with you. John wrote his gospel in Greek, and those last words of Jesus are just one word in the Greek. It's the word tetelesti. Tetelesti. And tetelesti means much more than "my life is about to end, I've done all I can." See, the expression "it is finished" or tetelesti was well known to the people then. It was part of their everyday language. When a servant had completed a difficult job that his master had given him to do, he would say to the master, "Tetelesti, I have overcome all the difficulties. I have done the job to the best of my ability. It is finished." When the Jewish people went to the temple with their sacrifice, the high priest would examine what was brought and he would say, "Tetelesti, your offering is accepted. It is perfect." When the merchant at the marketplace made a sale and the money was handed over, he would say, "Tetelesti, the deal is finished. It is complete. The price has been paid in full. I am satisfied." When an artist had finished a painting or a sculpture, he would stand back and say, "Wow, tetelesti, it is finished. There is nothing more that can be done to make this piece of art any better. This painting is complete." Here's some more. When a boy recited to his father a difficult passage he had learnt from the scriptures, or a girl showed her mother the bread that she had baked for the family, they would say to their children, "Tetelesti." And the parents responded with, they would say to the parents, "Tetelesti." And the parents would respond with, "Well done, my child. I am very proud of you." Are you starting to get the picture? You see, we're in Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified. He's hanging on the cross. And Satan thought that Jesus' death would signal the end. But the words, "It is finished," were not an acknowledgement of defeat. The opposite is going on here, in fact. Tetelestai, "it is finished," signaled a new beginning. As one preacher explained, his name is Pastor Vince Gerhardy, when Jesus spoke those final words, he wasn't just saying, "This is the end of me," as if there was nothing else to do but to give in to his enemies and die. His last words weren't a final surrender to the power of Satan, as if to say, "You have won, I have lost, I am done for." These words don't tell us that Jesus was dead now, and that's all there is to it, that he is finished, and so is everything that he stood for and promised during his earthly life. Not at all. All those who heard the word tetelestai, the servants, those who offered sacrifices at the temple, the buyers and the sellers at the marketplace, the artists, parents and the children understood that when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying that his job of saving the world had been completed. "I have finished the task," he was saying, "and nothing can be added to what has already been done. I, Jesus, have paid the price in full. The debt required for sin has been cancelled." Hallelujah. His sacrifice has been a perfect one, acceptable to the Heavenly Father, who, looking down on his son hanging lifelessly from the cross, said, "Well done. This is my dear son with whom I am well pleased." Tetelestai. It is finished. Everything is complete. Folks, through the power of the cross, Jesus fulfilled all the legal requirements the law, the old covenant, demanded, and in doing so, he ushered in a new beginning. The cross represented both the curse of sin and the cure for sin. "It is finished," signaled that the end, that the old had gone and that the new had come. Now you might be thinking, "But why should I focus on the cross? Why not bypass Friday and go straight to Sunday?" Well, it's interesting. As one writer recently put it, in the Bible, Jesus doesn't ask us to remember his birth or his resurrection, although we should. But he tells us to remember his death. Earlier, I mentioned what Jesus said and did during the Last Supper. At that final meal with his disciples, he introduced the Eucharist, what we now know as communion. And in Luke 22:19, Jesus said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." He was about to leave them, but he said, "Do this, remember what is just about to happen. Remember my death until I come again." You know, I'm looking forward to Sunday for sure. But today, Good Friday, is the time to remember what Jesus achieved when he uttered those three powerful, incredible, mind-blowing words, tetelestai, "it is finished." Because of Friday, Jesus paid the price for our sins that the old covenant, the law of Moses, demanded. Because of Friday, we can be forgiven and set free from the power of that sin, our sin, and be saved. Because of Friday, we are guaranteed an eternal future with Christ in heaven. Because of Friday, Jesus challenged the old order of hierarchy and through the cross ushered in a new order of servanthood. Matthew 20:28 said he came not as one to be served, but as one who serves. "It is finished" encompasses all of that. It includes all of the above, just in that single word, tetelesti. Well, today, church, Good Friday, is a somber time. But in 2 days' time, we will also be celebrating his resurrection. That's a time for rejoicing. But while we're in the moment of Good Friday, this is a time to remember the reason for the cross. It is finished. He completed all that he needed to do to usher in the new covenant, tetelesti. It is finished. So today we remember the suffering servant who came not to be served, but to serve. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Enjoy this Good Friday. It's a time of reflection, looking back, looking into your own heart, asking God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do from this day forward? What would you have me do with all that tetelesti means? It is finished. Have a wonderful day. God bless.